Insights, solutions, and networking all come together at RSA Conference. Join a global cybersecurity community at rsaconference.com/ITSPMAG24.
You're about to listen to a new episode of the Redefining Cybersecurity Podcast with Sean Martin. Have you ever thought we're selling cybersecurity insincerely, buying it indiscriminately, and deploying it ineffectively? Well, perhaps we are. Let's look at how we can organize a successful information security program that integrates business culture with people, process, and technology to drive growth and protect business value.
Imperva is the cybersecurity leader whose mission is to protect data and all paths to it with a suite of integrated application and data security solutions. Learn more at imperva.com.
And hello, everybody. You're very welcome to a new episode of Redefining Cybersecurity. This is Sean Martin, your host, where I get to talk about all kinds of cool things that impact how we run our businesses safely and security, looking at tons of different aspects of technology and of course, connected to our teams and operations in support of the business. And it's hard to have conversations these days that either aren't completely about or definitely touch on in some regard the concepts of artificial intelligence and machine learning. And it's interesting. I wrote a piece on it's called The Marketing Mess. And it was probably 3 years ago where I kind of explored the challenges of the language and terminology of AI and ML and the misuse of them in different arenas. And my sense, and perhaps my guest will share in a moment, my sense is that machine learning seems to have fallen off the scale in terms of what people talk about. Everything seems to be about AI and large language models. And even then, it's really generative AI. So I'm just mentioning a few things there. I'm sure it's even much more complex now, or maybe it's been complex and I only touched on it a little bit last time. But anyway, I'm just kind of rambling at this point. I'm thrilled to have my guest, Dr. Anmol Agrawal, on to join me. We're going to talk about adversarial machine learning. And Dr. Anmol, it's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. Yes, thank you. Yeah. And so to touch on your point, a lot of us are talking about AI and generative AI, and that's a buzzword. But actually, if you think about it, machine learning is the heart behind all of these AI technologies. Generative AI actually was natural language processing, which is something you study in machine learning. But I think generative AI is so popular now just because it's accessible to the public. Anyone can use it now. Whereas in the past, you would need a lot of compute power, a lot of access to servers in order to use it. But it's not new technology, it's just now everyone's talking about it.
Yeah, and I picture it, there's the technology and then the interface to the technology as well. And I'm probably oversimplifying it. Before we get into it, then thank you for clarifying, and I suspect we'll have a deeper dive on some of this as well. But a few words for our audience, who Dr. Anmol is, what you've been up to, what you're working on now, just to kind of paint a picture for who you are as they listen to our conversation.
Yeah, so I am a senior security researcher and I work at Nokia. But Nokia is actually providing the 5G and 6G technologies that power mobile carriers like AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and people might not know that, but in order to actually develop 5G and 6G, it typically takes a 10-year development cycle to actually standardize this technology. Because if we're using something like 5G or 6G, then we need to standardize it so the whole world collaborates on how this technology needs to be implemented. So my job is related to standardizing 5G and 6G technology, and specifically security standardization of that. So what that means is if AI or machine learning is being used to power 5G or 6G, you know, for your cell phone to work, for example, my job is to secure that technology so that we can actually use 5G and 6G without worrying about someone eavesdropping on our calls or faking sending a text message, for example. So that's a little bit about what I do. And then I'm a part-time adjunct professor at the George Washington University. So I teach machine learning, and that's also where I did my doctorate in cybersecurity analytics. And my research was focused on basically adversarial machine learning, which is what I'm talking about today.
That's fantastic. A fellow adjunct professor, I actually have the privilege on occasion to teach security analytics at Pepperdine to MBA students. And the whole goal is to take data and turn it into stories that matter for the business. And I suspect what you're doing is similar in terms of taking data and translating it into operations for the business and helping with decision making and things like that. Probably the same and ultimate goal, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically not only how do you implement machine learning from scratch, but how do you actually apply it to a business? How do you actually get your product deployed so that people can use it? How do you communicate your technical findings to the board? Because we can talk about all this cool technology, but unless we break it down for the business leaders, it's not going to be implemented.
So, and this show isn't about Nokia and 5G or 6G, but you said something that intrigues me. So I can't help myself but to ask. AI and machine learning used at the, is it correct to say that Nokia is the MNO, the mobile network operator? Is that the right term?
Well, so it's not the mobile network operator, but Nokia's customers are the operators.
Got it. Okay.
So it's developing the technology that will ultimately go to the operators.
Got it. Because there's a whole chain of we'll say entities involved to actually get to the handset. So they're even one step above that. So the infrastructure and the platform, if you will, that the operators use. So where, I'm curious what, how machine learning sits at that layer. Is it to enable it, or is it the platform actually using it to help route? Or can you take just a quick moment to describe what's going on there? I think it'd be interesting.
I can give you a few examples. So 5G has a product called NWDAF. So if you just look that up, it's basically network data analytics function. So that's something being used in 5G to analyze the different metrics we're getting from the network and to basically retrain the machine learning model on data that we learn. So if you think about it, when we talk about, you know, a cell phone, there are millions of us. We're all using cell phones. We all travel. But how does this actually work in terms of load balancing? So sometimes for load balancing, you use machine learning so that you have enough resources for, you know, a big metropolitan city like New York City, and also be able to account for someone who's traveling to, let's say, Australia or New Zealand. And how does that technology actually work? So a lot of machine learning is going into that. And also machine learning helps us enable new technology. So for example, the metaverse is something people are talking about. But to actually realize that technology, to actually plug into your virtual world with your avatar, you would need AI to do this. So that's another thing we're looking at with 6G. So think of AI and machine learning as just a tool to enable fast data analytics. That's really what we're using it for.
Got it. And part of the infrastructure then that the rest of the folks use. It's super cool. So let's get into the talk. Eventually, we're going to get down into the weeds of adversarial machine learning. But I think, given my first point of AI and ML and NPL, natural process language processing, NLP, I should say, can you paint a picture for folks what all those elements are, and I don't know, maybe a use case to say or to describe what each one does, just kind of level set there so we can talk about which direction next things are going.
Right. Yeah. So I'm sure a lot of us already know about AI, artificial intelligence. So sometimes we talk about AI and machine learning interchangeably. So sometimes when you'll see in the news stories, people are talking about AI, they might actually be talking about machine learning, but AI just sounds cooler. So actually AI is trying to imitate a human-like behavior. So it's originally from biology, right? So they're trying to imitate something like the brain, where we have neurons. And that's where we have something like neural networks. That's what came about with AI. And an example we all know is ChatGPT. That's generative AI. So what it's doing is it's basically ChatGPT, you send it a question and it gives you a response. There were also AIs that created screenplays for people, they created recipes for people. So it's not a human, but it's trying to do some things that as humans we might do. So that's what AI is. And then machine learning is really what is driving AI. So if you think about machine learning, and I mentioned natural language processing, under the hood, machine learning is actually what is powering something like ChatGPT. So machine learning at a high level is just a machine learns. We have input data, we have output data. If you think about data analytics in cybersecurity, we think about network traffic, for example. We have benign data, we have attack data. We might label that some of these events are indicative of an attack. So label it, send it to your machine learning model, and it can flag that and say, I think I detected an attack. This seems suspicious. So that's an example of machine learning. And we're actually using machine learning a lot in cybersecurity now for malware analysis, for anomaly detection. You know, something doesn't look right. For user behavior analytics, maybe there's an insider threat. You could use machine learning. So they're both intertwined, but it's just AI is the buzzword now. So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, because I don't know how many years ago now, it's probably 7 or 8 years. There's at DEF CON, there's an adversarial AI village, at least there was.
Yes.
And we had somebody on talking about adversarial AI, and we're trying to remember what that conversation was like, but I don't know how different that would be from the conversation we're going to have today either. I'll have to look up that episode now. One of the things that I wanted to touch on with you was let's talk about the exposure that AI and machine learning bring. So you talked about how we're using it to analyze data to hopefully find anomalies that could point to something bad happening from a cybersecurity perspective. But the use of these technologies puts additional reliance on data that might have some issues, new connections to code, which coding has issues, business logic has issues. So can you describe some of the exposure that we introduce just by inserting this one new technology into the stuff we create and build and launch?
Right. So in cybersecurity, we always monitor the attack surface. And of course, adding AI and machine learning is going to increase the attack surface because now our systems are more complicated. It's much easier for someone to attack it. And a lot of times with AI and machine learning technology, sometimes people don't really understand how it works under the hood, right? They just want the cool new feature. And then security can kind of be left out. And then we try to bolt security on later after the product has already deployed. And we all know that doesn't work out well. So there's actually a growing movement called Secure by Design, and they're trying to apply this idea to machine learning as well. So when you actually develop machine learning, making sure it's secure by design. So when we talk about machine learning or AI, it's important to monitor the data that you're actually using for your model. So for example, organizations might be using their confidential information. So you want to protect that data. You need to monitor the model itself, because maybe if you don't protect your model, someone could reverse engineer your model and steal it. So you don't want that. And you also need to talk about the encryption of communication between the data and the model, because you don't want a passive attacker who could just sniff the traffic and get access to your data. So I think those are things that everyone needs to think about when they're implementing AI or machine learning.
And an extension to the encryption, of course, comes identity and authentication.
Right, exactly.
It's not just the person connecting any longer at this point. So you might have services and apps and systems and all kinds of fun stuff having to go at the model. Let's take that for a minute and let's look at this. Most of my audience are security leaders, CISOs, business executives, building stuff with security in mind. And we also have folks who sit in the SOC and are analysts looking for those anomalies. So what could you describe to them in terms of how best to prepare their security operations for their business that is now introducing these technologies?
So I think in order to actually prepare their security operations, I recommend researching what the AI technology that they're trying to implement is, because oftentimes with using AI and machine learning, right, in this SOC, we need different roles. So you might need a team of data scientists, you might need a team of security engineers, and they might need to collaborate with each other to see what the AI is doing. And then also making sure that you have access control, like you mentioned, only allow the principle of least privilege, which we know only give them the minimum amount of privilege that they need to do their job. And that applies to AI and machine learning, as well as to accessing the data, because machine learning is all about the data you give it. You need to make sure that's secure. So making sure that is secured. And I think it's important to educate your staff on the risks of AI and machine learning, because it can introduce a lot of risks, and then making sure that we verify the results of AI, because AI can make mistakes, which I'm sure we're going to touch on today. So making sure you have people that verify the results AI is giving you versus just blindly trusting it is very important.
Yeah. And then, so there's we trained our model to do a certain thing and it didn't do exactly what we expected it to, but we didn't validate it, and therefore a decision was made and some action was taken based on wrong information or wrong analysis or inaccurate analysis, however you want to refer to it. Unless you want to take a moment to describe that, I really want to get into the concept of adversarial, which, because that to me is, we think we got it right, we didn't. Most of the time it is, occasionally it's not, we didn't catch those occasional knots and it is what it is. But then there's the nefarious end of things, right? So, which I think is where we're going to head with the adversarial. So can you describe, and maybe you do this for some of your students, what adversarial machine learning is?
Yeah, so if you were to look up adversarial machine learning, just on Google, for example, you'll see it's the study of attacks and defenses against machine learning models. So it's basically studying how we attack machine learning, but then also how we defend against some of these attacks.
So it's, well, I could guess, but I'd rather you tell me. it's my sense is that it's tricking or abusing or misleading the model or the application using it, or perhaps even the business logic that sits on top of it to do something other than was intended, right? It's just like any other AppSec vulnerability. But what's different here?
I mean, that's exactly what it is. So an example is, let's say you have machine learning for image recognition, and let's say you're recognizing different images of people. Maybe you could add noise to some kind of image that you're giving to the machine learning model. And what it does is it basically misclassifies that image and says, this is not a person, this is a tree, right? So it could make a big mistake. Or you basically just try to trick it in some way so that it functions in a way it shouldn't, whether it's to carry out a denial of service attack or just cause it to misclassify something or to insert a backdoor so you can sneak malware in the machine learning model without anyone knowing. So yeah, basically just tricking the model.
Well, let's talk about some of those. So from just to, for the moment, I'm going to tell Marco, who probably won't listen to this because he's busy with his own show, but I'm going to start referring to him as a tree. I classify him as a tree. Let's talk about that use case a little more, and maybe the big picture again for business leaders and security teams who have to deal with this stuff. What's the business impact potentially by a person being classified as a tree? And I'm certain it's different for different organizations. Financial services might be different than healthcare, might be different than somebody who builds autonomous vehicles looking at people in trees. Not many trees cross the street, I don't think, except for Marco in this case. So let's use that use case and maybe talk a little bit about what's going on there and some of the impacts that can happen.
Yeah, so basically in terms of machine learning, if you think about it, person is a tree. So you say a tree is a person, and that will cause your machine learning model to basically fail. So think about it in cybersecurity. You say attack is actually benign. What does that mean? Well, then, you know, you snuck malware in, they got away with it. You don't detect that attack in time. It could cause financial impact. It could mean your customers' records have been breached. So it's really important to verify that information.
And what about, I often classify cybersecurity this way, as most, especially with a lot of regulation around privacy and intellectual property and breaches into an organization. My sense is a lot of times people's first thought of cybersecurity and the protections are around the access, the CIA, the confidentiality, right? The CIA triad, the C part of that, where in fact the integrity is also important as well as the availability. Are there ways, I'm sure there are, that not just access to data, but the manipulation of it can then cause a system to not be resilient, to go offline?
Yes.
You're talking about the integrity here in this case as well. So what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, so that's actually an open research question, and that's what people are researching right now. So back in 2019, this was actually presented at DEF CON, was a team of security researchers were able to trick Tesla Autopilot. So they used adversarial machine learning to basically add noise to the image, like I mentioned. So initially, Tesla Autopilot, it functions and it recognizes the lanes properly. But then what they did was they added noise to the image. So now Tesla Autopilot no longer recognized that lane. So it actually diverted from the lane that it should have been in because it didn't see the lane anymore. So that's just one example of when adversarial machine learning can actually break the system entirely. And if this was not caught, you know, it could lead to loss of life in extreme cases.
Your perspective, how advanced is the research from the adversary, the bad actors, the cyber criminals, in terms of their efforts to break these models? I don't know. There are probably a gazillion models at this point, right? It's a lot of them public, a lot of them private. Is it a spray and pray that I've found this to work in one model? Let's see if I can find it the same weakness in other models? Or do they have specific examples that they know will work on one or more models and they just keep going after that? Or are they even more advanced to say, this is the end goal I'm trying to achieve? I'm trying to break this business logic to transfer funds from this account to mine. Right. And the way to do that, not through a breach of a hardly hardened system within a bank, but through some model that gives me access to the systems in another way. So what's the sophistication level of the adversary, I guess, is what I'm trying to understand.
I think it varies based on your adversary. So this is actually coming up right now, is people are using generative AI to learn how to attack these models. If you think about Gandalf was something that came out a few years ago. Basically, it was an example of an LLM, and you would try to do some kind of prompt injection to get Gandalf, the LLM, to give you passwords that it shouldn't. So that was an illustration of the idea. But basically now generative AI is allowing someone like a script kiddie to attack these machine learning models without really understanding how it all works. So now we can have script kiddies attacking these machine learning models. And then the very sophisticated actors, like what you mentioned, breaking the business logic. We can see that in nation states. I'm sure, you know, there are countries that are trying to do that, because now AI and machine learning is being used in all of these industries. It's being used in the government. It's being used by NASA for space exploration. So I think we see a varying skill set with all these adversaries. And unfortunately, generative AI is enabling script kiddies to also perform adversarial machine learning.
So the reason script kiddies can do it, I think, is twofold, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here. So the first is the accessibility to the technology is exposed through an interface and through some other open source tooling, things like that, that abstracts a lot of the complexities of the deep machine learning capabilities and basically puts it in the hands of somebody, right? So they can manipulate. The other side of the equation to me is the data. And of course, the whatever app or service is built on top of that data, but which for this audience is you, the business owner, not you, Dr. Amal, but the business owner listening to this episode, that decide we want to enable this customer support service we offer with machine learning and expose that. If you don't know, if you're relying on the abstraction and you don't know how it works, machine learning, and you put data in there and you don't know every bit about every piece of data that you've now fed this, you could potentially be exposing data that you don't want to. And making it easy, the other side of the equation is making it easy for somebody who doesn't need a lot of knowledge to get access to that information. I think, I can't remember which airline it was, but I presume there was some marketing data in the data set that then their chat bot pulled information from and fed a coupon or a discount or something that the airline then had to honor, right? To me, that, I don't know the full story, but my sense of it is the airline used data to train, used that data to present it to the user, not realizing that data would surface and then they'd have to honor whatever that data suggested they offer. So I don't know. I said a lot there. I don't know if you followed, but my point to the audience here is if you don't know how it's working, be very, very careful what you're feeding it and how you build apps to expose it.
Right. There's actually an adversarial machine learning attack called model inference attack. So basically, it's what you explained. You give the machine learning model data. You have no idea how it's working. You're just an end user, and you're getting output from your model. And maybe from that output, people can see, like, oh, based on what I get giving it this data, like this person is a tree, then I can infer some other things about the data set, and then I can reverse engineer the model or reverse engineer the training data set and get access to data that they shouldn't get access to. So that's another important security threat with these machine learning technologies.
Yeah. And so I'm going to tell a little story because I don't talk enough clearly. But Marco and I, it's been a few months now. We started to explore the use of generative AI through as a service. We bought a service or subscribed to a service to do this for us, where it's all public information. All our episodes are on Apple and Spotify and everywhere. So this is all this information is there. So we're not worried about somebody hearing it again or reading it through an AI prompt. The idea was show me episodes that talk about adversarial AI, and they'd feed this one and maybe the one we had a couple of years back. What we found was that it was still so erroneous. The stuff it came back with, it mix up people as hosts that were guests. It would talk about topics that weren't part of the episode, and it was clear it that particular model that we were using, the service we were using, wasn't good. But so we decided to pull it back because it wasn't achieving what we wanted, and I think it was adding more stress than good. But having this conversation now, I don't know what would be in that data set. And there's having the airline example. I don't know what would be in the data set that's in our episodes that could be pulled together in some certain way that says something or describes something that never happened. We don't want it to say. And so for me, more so than the fact that it wasn't providing value is that it, with the errors we saw, it could actually present something that wasn't what we wanted it to say, and nor our guests or our other hosts. So we pulled it back, recognizing this wasn't working. And I didn't want to spend the time to really hone and fine tune the data set, nor work with the provider of that service to figure it out. Just the value wasn't there for us. But so anyway, that's my story. And it based on value, based on risk, we made a decision. I'm curious how many listeners do that same analysis. I'm not saying I'm great or anything. I'm just wondering how many people do that analysis. Do you have a sense of how organizations, either your own or others, formally look at that process and come up with a resolution that they're acceptable, accept as a risk appetite? I think that one reached the threshold. I said it wasn't worth it. I wonder how many companies do that same analysis. Any ideas?
Yeah. So, I mean, from my experience at Nokia, this might be different than what the listeners have experienced, but in telecommunications, it's highly regulated. So sometimes we can't just accept a risk. But what we can do is we can say we prioritize certain security issues, and we say prioritize these security issues, and those other issues we'll deal with it in the next release. But it's very difficult to accept risk, especially with something like AI and machine learning. So I actually worked in an organization before. I don't want to name names, but this organization was very resistant on using AI and machine learning. So we had researchers come over and they said, we have this really cool new tool using machine learning to help you prioritize the security risks that these organizations are facing. You should use machine learning. And my manager at the time was very, very scared of using machine learning because A, maybe it doesn't work. B, how do you get the data? How do you clean the data? Is it even worth it? We're looking at not just one organization, but you know, all of our customers. So that's like hundreds, maybe thousands of different groups or systems or companies or products. So is it even worth that level of effort? And then also finances, right? So AI and machine learning can be expensive. So sometimes you have to do the trade-off. Is it worth even investing in this technology before you actually see it work and realize what it's supposed to do. So in that organization's case, they chose, no, we're not going to use machine learning. But, you know, maybe a startup might try to use machine learning. They might try to use all of these new technologies to innovate because they're okay with accepting the risk. But I think for larger enterprises, it's very difficult to accept this risk because you don't want your customer data to be breached, you know. So I think it even depends on your organization.
Yeah, it's great point. And I was wondering if you have any additional stories you might want to tell, or maybe let's look at it this way. So clearly there's risk. Each organization has to determine the risk reward equation, which side they land on, make their own decision. That can only be reached, in my opinion, with guess what? Data. Right. And in this case, somebody's going to do the analysis on what the value is and can it drive more, whatever revenue, market share, whatever they're trying to achieve. That's one part of the equation. The other is the risk side. So how do you see folks getting a view of the risk? I did a very simple, I just used it analysis and it wasn't working. And I could see where things were heading and didn't even want to invest anymore. But if I decided that the value is also there, I would then have to take a deeper dive on the risk part of it. So how do organizations get that risk data for the data set they're using? Is it the right data? Is it clean? Does it have bias? How are we building, or which model? Do we build our own? Do we leverage another one? What service are we going to connect that to? What apps are we going to build that in? Where are we going to expose that? Is it through a mobile app, through a web app, through internal app, whatever? How do they get that full picture, assuming they decide it's worth investing enough to consider the risks?
Right. So that's a good point. I think, so first of all, an organization, let's just decide you want to use AI and machine learning. So I think just a formal threat and risk analysis would be a good starting point. Like, what are the risks I see? What would the impact be if this risk were to occur? And then do I have any risk mitigations or do I just accept the risk? So there are actually many resources that organizations could leverage. So Microsoft and MITRE have actually put up their own framework. So we know about MITRE ATT&CK, but there's a MITRE ATT&CK for adversarial machine learning called MITRE ATLAS. So if you look up MITRE ATLAS, then that's a very useful resource. They list some common attacks that machine learning models might have. So that's a good starting point. And then in terms of actually understanding the data, this is very challenging. You could try to analyze your data manually, but of course, that's not a good idea. You can try to implement machine learning, but again, it depends on the strength of your model. So a lot of organizations are facing this challenge. We have this use case, but we don't have enough data. And so sometimes people are trying to synthesize their own data. So I actually did this for one of my projects. Was I only had a few records of ATT&CK and benign data, and I needed to synthesize my own data in order to test out the machine learning model. So you could try to synthesize your own data, but again, that could introduce some bias that you weren't intending. But I think it's important for everyone to understand that all of your data will have bias. The only thing you can control is the amount of bias. But the fact is that all of the data that we have in the world is created by us as humans, and we all have our own biases. So you will never have a 100% bias-free model. There's always going to be some level of risk.
And as you're describing that, and thanks for those resources, by the way, perhaps you can share some of those in the notes, and we'll include them for folks here as well. As you were describing some of that, I was thinking through my own use case, and I didn't even think of a bad actor coming in. I was just thinking somebody wanting to learn more about the stuff that we have, that we've published. And at the time it was, 1,500 episodes. We're now approaching 2,000, which if we train the data on 1,500 and then 500 more episodes, it could change how the results come back. Right? So you have to keep your risk assessment up to date with the new data that you put in. But the point I want to make is it's easy to assume somebody's going to come in and use it as you intend. And say, like, my use cases were show me episodes. When was this episode published? What are some resources provided in that episode that can help me with mitigating this risk? That's the kind of stuff I was hoping people would do. What I could see somebody coming in and saying, do you believe that CISO should be criminally charged with their role in whatever attack that they experience at their company? And if the thing comes back and says yes or no or whatever, what can somebody do with that? Right? And presumably that data set could provide some opinion based on whatever somebody said in some episode, whether that's our position or not. So that's a prompt based trying to get it to say something. But then there are also more technical based, and that's where some of the script kiddie stuff comes in, where if you know what types of data to feed it, maybe code you feed it or whatever else, you can get it to do all kinds of weird stuff, right?
Right, exactly. So that actually made me think about the Tay chatbot, which back in 2016, Microsoft designed Tay, and it was supposed to basically function almost like a teenager and just be very benign. And I'm sure Microsoft just thought it would be a useful chatbot assistant type of chatbot. But of course, it was trained on Twitter and it was sent all these tweets about conspiracy theories and incorrect information. And of course, the machine learning just parroted back whatever it was trained on. So even prompts that you give it could train the model as well.
Yeah. So much to consider here. We're at about 40 minutes. I'd like to close here with some final thoughts from you. Is there anything we didn't touch on yet? Maybe a use case or a scenario or something that you think would be helpful for folks to understand what's possible? And yeah, we'll start there. Maybe one final point on there if you have anything else to share.
Yeah, I mean, I could talk about this topic for hours.
I know, that's what I'm afraid of. Yeah. We keep going and going.
Right. But one attack I did want to touch on is the idea of a poisoning attack. So you could have an insider threat and maybe someone could inject poison data, and then your model is trained on incorrect information, and that could cause your model to break. So in research, they actually use this with autonomous vehicles. So you have stop signs and speed limit signs, and you could poison the machine learning model to say a stop sign is a speed limit sign, so then the vehicle won't stop. But this poisoning attack idea could apply to all of our scenarios, right? It could apply to the facial recognition scenario. It could apply to your scenario. It could even apply to a cybersecurity scenario. So again, that just underscores the importance of protecting your data and making sure that you mitigate any chances of having an insider threat, because you don't want this training data to be injected with bad poison data and then cause your entire model to break.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that reminds me of like some of the financial services. If certain criteria are met, it requires additional authentication to approve certain transactions. Those are very simple rules, right? If this and this and this, then do this. I can only guess that some financial services are using machine learning to do a little deeper analysis to fine tune that risk. So it's not just a set of three. It's a gray area that based on the analysis, but that could be poison and let transactions through potentially, or block important ones that should be allowed through. Super fascinating. Of course, AI is, machine learning is in general. So much more to learn, and perhaps you'll come back and share some more with me. But as we close today, final question for you. In the mind of the audience, CISOs and business leaders and security practitioners, what's the one thing you think we need to do to, with AI and machine learning, to redefine security?
Yeah, I think for us, we need to understand what actually AI and machine learning is beyond the buzzwords and hype. Actually take the time to research what this technology is doing. It's not magical, it's just powerful data analytics. So I think that's something I want to leave the audience with, is AI is not magic, it's just data analytics.
I love it. The magic hat and wand. You can wear them, but don't expect them to work.
Exactly.
I love it. Well, Dr. Anmol, it's an absolute pleasure chatting with you today. I learned a ton, and hopefully the audience did as well. We got people to think. That's certainly my goal, and I believe we achieved that today. So I want to thank you very much for joining me, and for everybody listening and watching, please do subscribe, share, and love to know your thoughts on, I don't know, many of the things we talked about. How do you analyze the risk? What tools do you use? What frameworks do you use? What do those conversations sound like as you're trying to determine when and where and how you're going to use machine learning to build the business and then maybe even protect it on the other side? So thank you so much. We'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you.
Pentera, the leader in automation security validation, allows organizations to continuously test the integrity of all cybersecurity layers by emulating real-world attacks at scale to pinpoint the exploitable vulnerabilities and prioritize remediation towards business impact. Learn more at pentera.io.
Imperva is the cybersecurity leader whose mission is to protect data and all paths to it with a suite of integrated application and data security solutions. Learn more at imperva.com.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Redefining Cybersecurity Podcast with Sean Martin. Please take a moment to rate the show and leave a comment. And remember to share the Redefining Cybersecurity Podcast with your friends, family, and colleagues. Come back for more conversations and follow Sean Martin as he continues his journey towards redefining cybersecurity.